The reading is taken from James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Many thanks, Deborah. Just need to organize myself this morning. Okay. Are you okay? Good. Three of you? Okay, that's fine. This morning we are continuing our sermon series in the letter of James, and the topic is hearing and doing. Hearing and doing, or as James puts it, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And the Bible, if you want to kind of follow it in the Bible, it's on page 1213, is it? Page 1213, so that's James chapter 1. And James uses strong language. He comes across quite confrontational and very challenging. He warns us of self-deception. Quite a number of years ago now, Sue and I, we were praying about what to do with some money that we wanted to give away. And among other things, we felt to give a very small amount, in fact just £10, to some friends of ours. And that was something that we really struggled with, because these friends, this couple, you know, they were kind of middle class, had a nice house, you know, had good work. And we were kind of reasoning that surely they don't need a tenner to that wouldn't help them in any shape or form. So we actually talked ourselves out of giving them that £10. Much later on, we had a conversation with them. And we found out that during that time, that exact time, they had decided to give away their whole monthly salary to someone else. And as we were chatting with them, we realized that it was such a struggle for them. They had given away all this money, trusting that God would provide for them. But it was so difficult, very challenging, and they felt quite alone and isolated through that month ahead. And we quickly realized that a tenner, even just a tenner, to them would communicate to them that God cares, God understands, you have not been forgotten. And we had to actually apologize to them and say sorry for disobeying what we sense God called us to do. They had obeyed God, but we and probably some other people hadn't obeyed in responding to what God told us to do. As many of you will know, the idea of works and doing is a central theme in the book of James. And in chapter 2, he picks it up again. And here he states that, what does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And then a few verses later, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James seems to be saying that if you really want to discover true faith in someone's life, don't just listen to what they say, but watch what they do. And I don't want to be a kind of too political this morning, but this theme has obviously been central in the news this week. So hearing and doing, how does it work? On one hand, we are often reminded of the fact that we are human beings. It is the being bit which is central. Instead of being driven by all the oughts and shoulds of doing lots of stuff, Christians are first and foremost something that we are. It's being that is important. On the other hand, we may as Christians have heard this well-known saying that we must preach the gospel at all times and, if necessary, use words. Meaning that we must be proactive in demonstrating the gospel to people around us in works and good deeds. The doing bit, is what marks us as Christians. And it is this, rather than words, that convinces people of the need for God. Of course, what James is trying to get across is that we need to hear and listen to God's word by putting it into practice. Jesus himself said that blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So, of course, we are human beings who do things in line with what God has gifted us to do, what he calls us to do, and what needs there are around us. And preaching the gospel without words, for sure. But nowhere in Scripture will we find that gospel demonstration and gospel proclamation are at odds with each other. In fact, both are commanded and intended to be in harmony and integrated as part of personal evangelism. We can't read more than one chapter in the book of Acts without seeing how well the gospel demonstration, the doing bit, and gospel proclamation, the speaking bit, work together to impact others. Hearing and doing. I think the key word that connects hearing and doing is the word obedience. Obedience. And the New Testament is consistent throughout, whether in Jesus' teaching, in Paul's letter, and here in James, that what is needed is a radical obedience to what God says. That when God speaks, it must be acted on. In Matthew, Jesus said that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. It's pretty kind of hard-hitting, isn't it? Growing in the knowledge of who God is and developing our relationship with him is rooted in obedience. We can't really say we love Jesus if we don't obey him. Obey him. You see, God really wants us to love our neighbors. He really wants us to forgive one another. He says, do not fear. He wants us to be generous. You know, these are commands and not suggestions, however hard and challenging they may be. So what do we do with what we hear this morning? So Someone once said, a good sermon isn't done when it is preached, but when it is practiced. Of course, by the person that preaches, but also, of course, those listening. But we know, don't we, that sermons at times, they can be quite difficult to follow. And at other times, to be bluntly, they can be quite dull. Or is that just me who thinks that? Okay. Honestly, there are times when I preach, I'm thinking, Bertie, you are so dull. Sometimes they can be really, very dull. Debbie isn't here this morning, is she? Are you here, Debbie? At the back. Oh, yeah. Debbie, lend me this book before Christmas, didn't you, Debbie? It's called A Little Book of Church Humor, Bloopers and Blessings. Great read. And I thought, because this is quite a heavy topic today, so I thought I would just read one or two stories for us about sermons. This one is good. Early one Sunday, a mother went in to wake her son. Wake up, son. It's time to go to church. No, Mom, I don't want to. The choir don't like me. The congregation hate me. And the sermons are boring. Give me two reasons why I should go to church. Well, son, for one, you're 55 years old. And for another, you're the vicar. It's quite good, isn't it? And do you want another one? Not a short one? Yeah, see, okay. A preacher once started his sermon with the words, I have so much to say. I don't know where to begin. A little boy piped up, could you please start somewhere near the end? That's a good one. Okay, final one. I don't mind if people look at their watches while I'm preaching, but I get worried if they take them off and shake them. That's quite a good one. Anyway, that's some sermons for you, sermon jokes. Anyway, what do we do with what we hear? What do we do with what we hear? Last week I shared that I sense God is speaking to us as a church about this year ahead, and that we are called to get filled up and go out. Get filled up and go out. How do you respond to a word like that? When you spend time reading the Bible, what do we do with what we read? It says in the book of Job that God speaks time and again. God is a God who speaks. He wants to communicate to us. He wants us to hear His voice. And hearing from God is really important for us individually and for us as a church community. You know, if God is not speaking to us, we are on shaky ground. We need to be people who seek God's voice. Ephesians 2 talks about the church is built on the ministry of the apostle and the prophet. We can't really go forward without us hearing God's speaking to us. Prophet is someone who hear God speak. And when God speaks, those times we are reading the Bible or praying or listening to a sermon preached, and then there is this reaction, this response inside of us. That's for me. That word is for me. Today. Now. What do we do? Do we then just think about it for a while and then forget about it, busying ourselves with other things? Or do we sit with it, chew on it, pray about it some more, talk with our partner, friend, home group leader, try to work out what it means and how we should respond? James wrote, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. This word looking here doesn't just mean a casual glance, but instead a very thoughtful, attentive consideration of what you see. Looks intently, as it says in the following verse. So here we have my prop, my mirror. I spend 15-20 minutes each day looking into it. Some of you clearly hasn't looked in the mirror this morning. Oh, it's just a joke. So how does this mirror help us? How does this mirror help us? Of course, we look into it and we discover something that we need to change. We need to fix. We need to alter. It shows us what's going on. What do you see when looking in the mirror? What do you see when looking in the mirror? Do you think that what you see is what God sees? Is what you see aligned with God's purpose for your life? If not, we need to work to change something, to begin living the way God wants us to live, so that what is seen in the mirror is something that makes an impact on others when they engage with us, when they look at our lives. It is about living real, authentic Christian lives. Is that what we say we do, we practice. What we hear from God, we step out, applying in our lives. People will always be drawn to those who live with integrity. And our faith, says James, makes a real difference in the world. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And the psalmist says something similar: a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. We are, of course, called to respond to needs. And scripture tells us that God is particularly concerned with some of the most needy in our society, such as orphans and widows. That this also must be our concern. And in Book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, which doesn't come up, Jesus said, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Some of the things that God is calling us to. So we are Christians who actively and intentionally listen to what God has to say. We know that God loves to speak and to direct us. We reflect on what he says. We pray about it. And we perhaps share it with those close and wise friends in our lives to get their thoughts, to get their wisdom. And then we obey it. And we put it into practice in our lives. At times it will be hard and challenging, but we do it because we love Jesus and we so want to obey him. Amen.